just decree that Christ reigns, that there is no Adam, that there is only life, there is only one way, there is no death. The answer is Christ. Long, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who's found his Christ. Okay? That every man should be the master in his own house. Oh, glory! That every spirit will be the master in the house. That the soul will not rule. That the soul cannot rule. God has declared that the spirit will rule. And the one who speaks in the language of his own people, this spirit is going to speak in such a straightforward language that your soul is going to sit up, listen up, and shut up. Okay? This word, it's going to be in a language that your soul understands completely. Okay? What's going on with you? Okay? I know what's going on with me. My soul is becoming submissive. It's sitting down. It's controlling its will. It's controlling its emotions. It's controlling its knowledge and understanding in order that it might understand the completeness of the Spirit. And it might become totally submissive to the Spirit. So that when it has if I can say it this way, a sexual relationship in the Spirit, that this soul of mine, when they come together in the Spirit, is going to produce only the life of God. That's what's going on here. Okay? Because of the Word. He sent this letter to each province according to its script. I don't know, have you ever seen the way the Ethiopians write? You gotta see their signatures. They're different than the Kenyans, but you can't read them anyway. Either one of them, okay? And generally the English in the United States, you can read the name when somebody signs it, but you can't read the name in those countries. And that's no offense, it's just the way they do it. What it's saying is, he sent it to their script. He sent it in a way that it can be read of all men in their own language. Okay? He sent it so, just like your fingerprint is your own individualized identity, so to speak. So he sent this in a script that you've seen it in the movies where you put your hand on the screen and read your hand and gives you entrance into the building, you know, by the identification. That's exactly what's going on. He's giving you something with a script that only you, in the middle of your being, can know and understand the very depth of it all. That's what it's saying there. Okay. So, I see something great going on. I see the Lord having a party within his garden. And in the midst of his garden, rebellion raises its head with Vashti. Adam raises her head, if you will. And God cuts it off right then and there. Doesn't give place to it. Doesn't recognize it. At that point, he destroyed it. And from this point on, in chapter 2, he's establishing the kingdom. He doesn't even deal with Vashti anymore. You will not find any other discussion of Vashti in the rest of the book of Esther because as far as he's concerned, she's dead. Okay? So now he goes on and he looks for the wife. He goes on and he looks for the one pure, the one holy one, the one that is willing to be submissive, the soul that seeks nothing else but the desire to fully complement him in every way. How's your spirit doing? Is your spirit in control of your body and your mind? Is your spirit really in control? Now, Joyce and I were talking the other day, and your body can do things, and no matter how strong your mind is, your body still does it. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. I mean, have you really noticed that? I mean, you can be sicker than a dog, and you say, hey, I'm living in the kingdom, I'm not sick here, and you need to shape up, and it just sticks its tongue out at you, you know? I mean, haven't that to you? Well, where's the spirit in this? Where's the control in this, right? I mean, don't you struggle with those sort of things? God is finding a people that when the soul comes into full alignment, the body will fall into place. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's looking for a people that the spirit will lead them to such a degree that the mind seeks nothing but to have union with it, nothing but to produce the life of God, and the production of the life of God will be made manifest in the flesh. Jesus mind was so much the submissive mind. Mm-hmm. Father, I do nothing save I see what you do. Wow. I say nothing except what I hear you say, O Lord. Two scripture verses, John 5, okay? That's a soul, that's a mind that's in union with the Father, that has no other desire. And that's the one that was worthy to give her crown royal position to another who is more worthy. Mm-hmm. Ooh, more worthy. I like that. Okay? One that has no other desire, has a clear vision of purpose. His purpose is to please the Spirit. So, chapter 2. So after these things, when the anger of the king had subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's attendants who served and said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king." So the Lord began to search. He began to search for the perfect soul. I can really imagine this. Now, I may be off base on this, but I can really imagine this, that God in his creation, even before he created anything, he's saying, "Now, I'm going to make Adam this way, Queen Vashti this way, and there's going to be that iniquity found within her, and she's going to fall, but I've got to make the perfect soul." Mm-hmm. Who is going to be my perfect soul? Who? And he realized it had to be himself.
Hallelujah.
Okay? There's nothing else that could be perfect.
Amen.
And so he sent himself in the image of his son. Okay? And so he's looking for young virgins, someone that hasn't been contaminated, someone that's pure, undefiled, and holy. So the king appointed overseers in all the province of his kingdom, that they may gather every beautiful young virgin to the capital, to the harem, into the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the women. Now, Haggai was a eunuch. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit never seeks any glory, never tries to produce anything, never tries to do anything. The Holy Spirit just ministers at the bidding of the Lord. That's what he does. And so here he is in charge of all these women. Okay? Now I know we can take this on the natural plane, but let's keep it on the spiritual plane. This is the souls. Okay? Here he's looking through all these souls and he wants to find the soul, the one soul. Isaiah 53:10 says that Jesus offered his soul for sin. Okay? He didn't offer his spirit, he didn't offer his body. He offered his soul, it says in Isaiah 53:10. So here's the Holy Spirit looking for that one. Okay? Who is that one? "This is my beloved son," John the Baptist says. "Hear ye him." Okay? Why? He was the perfect soul manifested on the earth, manifested in your earth, if you will. The perfect soul is to come forth. The Christ is to come forth. He'll be glorified in his saints. He's to come forth out of this earth, your body, to be made manifest. That's what Jesus did. He manifested. He was the perfect soul seen in the flesh. Well, I want to tell you, he's coming again to be seen in the flesh, and that's in you. And so, the king's eunuch was in charge of the women, and let their cosmetics be given to them. How about that? Okay? He gave them what they needed to make themselves look pretty. Okay? To make themselves desirous. Now let's look at this. "So then the young lady who pleases the king be queen in place of Vashti, and the matter pleased the king, and he did accordingly. Now there was a Jew in Susa, this capital, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, of Benjamin," I hope we don't have to say that again, "who had taken into exile from Jerusalem with the captives, who had been exiled with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had exiled. And he's bringing up Hadassah." And Hadassah means star in the Hebrew. He's bringing up Hadassah, the one that would be the star, the real day star. What was Jesus? Wasn't he the day star? Yeah, Peter says that. "His uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother." Oh, glory.
Amen.
Oh, glory. This is Melchizedek order here.
Amen.
"Had neither father nor mother. Wasn't made after the flesh plane. Wasn't made after the carnal. Was made after the spirit. A most glorious thing, if you will." Now, I don't want to get into Melchizedek, but, you know, just think about Melchizedek, okay? "Now, the young lady was beautiful of form and face." Oh, my, isn't that tremendous there? "Good of appearance looking." What does that mean? She looked like Christ. Okay? "And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter." The Holy Spirit brings her up that way. "So it came about when the command and decree of the king were heard, and many young ladies were gathered to the capital, that Esther was taken to the king's palace into the custody of Haggai, who was in charge of the women." Verse 9. "And now the young lady pleased him and found favor in his sight." What does it mean to find favor? What word means find favor? Grace. Mercy. So she finds favor. Of course she would. She's the perfect soul. Okay? Esther is the image of God, and it is God himself. That's the perfect one. And we're grafted in to who he is. So we found favor. We found grace. So he quickly provided her with the cosmetics and food and gave her 7 choice maids from the king's 7 ladies waiting on her. I want you to think about something. In Isaiah, I think it's in the 50s someplace, that it says, in that day, what day? The Lord's day. In that day, 7 women will come unto one man and say, can we have your name so that we can go do the things we want to do? I'm sorry. No. Right? No women, no soullessness is going to be married to the Spirit and then go do its own thing. Not in this day. And see, she's given 7 maids that are according to the king's purpose, another type and shadow, if you will, that these are perfect souls also because they're married to her, okay? These could be the 7 churches if you want. Whatever way you want to look at, there's a lot of stuff here, okay? From the king's palace, and transfer her and her maids to the best place in the harem. What place? The best place. So there they are, at the apex, the very high point, brought in because she found grace. Not the law. She found grace. Vashti operated under the law. Come. No. That's the law. See, grace, if someone says, come, what do you do? Sure. Okay? Because you're willing. Okay? Esther did not make known her people or kindred, for Mordecai told her not to. Yes. Do you hear that? Hope you underline that. You're not to tell anybody who you are. You know who you are. You know that you're walking in grace. You know that you're the one of the sons of God. You don't have to have a bumper sticker on your car. Okay? You know who you are. And every day Mordecai walked back and forth in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and how she fared. Now when the turn of each young lady came to go into the king Ahasuerus, after the end of her 12 months under, how many? 12. 12 is the number of divine government. After she'd come under full divine government, 1 year, she was ready. What do you offer to God? What's it say about the lamb that's to be offered? It's to be 1 year old, without spot, without blemish, pure, undefiled. And that's acceptable to God for a Passover. Okay? So here she is. And what was Christ? Our lamb, right? Mm-hmm. For the days of their beautification were completed. And it was completed like this. 6 months with the oil of myrrh. Myrrh speaks of suffering. Okay? When Jesus was born, they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold for his divinity. Frankincense speaks of anointing, and myrrh is used in burial for suffering. Okay? So if we're to ascend up into who God is, we have to start in reverse order. We got to start off with the myrrh first. Okay? It's got to be put into us. It's got to be put into the Adam so that the Adam can be sucked up into the vine. Isn't that not right? Amen. So that the Adam can be brought into life, that all heaven and earth can become one, so that the fullness of God can be seen. 6 months with the oil of myrrh. Oil? Why? Because it speaks of anointing. 6 months, the number of man. The full completion of it. Now, and then 6 months with spices and the cosmetics to beautify. So this young lady goes into the king in this way. Anything that she desired was given to her to take with the king from the harem to the king's place. In the evening she would go in the morning she would return to the second harem, to the custody of Shahazgaz or something like that, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not again go into the king unless the king delighted in her. Uh-oh. So, let's make believe that Joyce really likes pink. I know her mother does. Anyway, so Joyce dresses up in the best pink. I look good in pink. And she puts on deep purple eyebrows because it matches the pink, you know, dress. And she colors her hair somehow so it matches the pink dress. Whatever. And she's got these perfect pink shoes or whatever. And she's just fit to kill. No, she looks great. She's ready to go in to see the king. Well, I happen to be the king. I hate pink. I like pink. Never had like pink my whole life. Now, I like her, my mother-in-law, okay? But fortunately, I didn't marry my mother-in-law. I married Joyce, okay? Now, so what I'm driving at is that Joyce, in her own soul, in her own way, thinks that she looks best in pink. She comes in, and she goes before the king, and the king never calls her again. Why doesn't he call her? Because she didn't have on what he liked. Okay? That's not what Esther does. Look at this. Verse 15. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, came to go unto the king, she did not request anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch who was in charge of him, advised. What does the king like?
He likes blue.
Oh. What color blue?
Deep blue.
Get me something.
He likes short dresses, not long. Okay, give me a short dress.
Skirt or dress?
Dress.
Okay, I'll wear a dress. He likes purple shoes.
Okay,
we'll get you purple shoes. Whatever works. She asks all the right questions so that she puts on exactly what the king wants. That's what Esther does. She's a star. She knows that she's to ascend. She knows that she's to sit down at the right hand of the Father. Okay? So, here she is. She gets everything prepared. And Esther found what?
Favor.
Grace. She found grace in the eyes of all who saw her. She was in the realm of grace. She was already in the garden, even though she wasn't in the garden yet. She was already living in the realm. She was manifesting the realm. She knew the law of grace. She understood how to walk in that realm. She was doing everything she could to prepare herself so that when the king saw her, he said, there's grace. Okay? That's the one that I want. She's walking in the way that I want her to walk. She knows where life is, how to walk in it. She's conformed to my image. I'll take her as my wife. Okay? So Esther was taken to the king. Now let me tell you a little bit about this. The king would be sitting on his throne in those days, and he'd be looking out across this court, and it'd be pretty open, be a pavilion type setup, and the doors were at the end, at the opposite end of where his throne was, and the lady would walk past, and if he waved his wand, she could come in. If she didn't, she just had to keep on walking, okay? So a lot of these ladies had come to see him, and they walked past the open doors, and they did not get mercy to enter in. They did not receive grace to enter in because they weren't clothed with his nature. They had the wrong identity. They were, even though they were virginous, even though they were pure, there was still iniquity found in them. Remember, Adam started off great and then he fell. Queen Vashti started off great and she fell. She was beautiful. She was virginous and everything else, but, okay, so these walked right past and they still couldn't enter in.
Foolish virgins, huh?
Yeah. Actually, 10. Because the 10, even, they had the anointing, but they weren't the bride. Right? Even though they had anointing, the oil, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they still, of the 10 virgins, they still couldn't enter in. So there's the 5 foolish that didn't have enough oil, meaning they didn't have enough of the baptism of the Spirit, or they didn't have the baptism of the Spirit. They were saved. They had the experience of the Spirit, because you get the Spirit when you're saved. John brings it out in chapter 20 or 22. But the 5 that had the oil, they had the baptism of the Spirit, but they still weren't part of the bride, because they were still in the flesh. It's only those that can enter into the Holy of Holies. And so, here's Esther. She's all dressed up in the color the king likes, with the rouge that he likes, with the shoes that he likes, with everything that he likes, and she walks past the door. And when she walks past the door, he waves his wand at her. He extends mercy to her. He reaches out under her and lifts her from the realm where she came from. She came from the province. She came from the outlying area. She came from the land of the desert, if you will, from everything that wasn't the capital. And he reaches out and he elevates her up from a common serf, from a common person, and brings her up. And she's made the queen. All because she found grace. All because she knew what the realm of grace was. Look at verse 17. It doesn't say this about Vashti. Nowhere will you see that it says this about Vashti. The king loved Esther. Why did he love Esther? Because it was himself. Okay? That's why he loved her. Okay? Ask me why I love Joyce. Tell you the same thing. Okay? That you love the one that matches you and blends with you more than all the women. And she found what? Favor, grace, with him more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So as soon as he brought her in, he immediately crowns her with his crown. Oh, do you hear that? He took his crown and gave it to her. when she came in the room. Because he knew that this soul could rule the same way that he rules because she was subject to his spirit. Oh, let your mind, let your soul, your will, and emotions be subject to the spirit, and God will let you reign. Now, understand what I'm telling you, because most Christians can't accept that concept. Most Christians believe, well, I've got to let the Spirit lead me. As men are led by the Spirit, the sons of God. That's right. I understand that verse. Nothing wrong with that verse. But how are you led by the Spirit? By your soul, knowing the Spirit so well that your mind can do the will of God without having to think about it. If you have to think about doing the will of God and you have to pray about doing the will of God, you're carnal. You're in duality. You've got to find God's will. That means you're separated from His will. That means you don't know Him. But those that are after Esther, that are formed with Him, and they've come into Him, they've come into that union with Him, they don't have to ask the Spirit. They know what the Spirit already wants. Okay? And so, the king gave... Oh, let me add this other point. That Jesus, it says, sat down with the Father on His throne. Okay? You know, a lot of people have heard, at least I've heard it preached, that there's three thrones up there. Some said Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but I've heard others preach that there's the Father and there's Jesus and you. And all three of us are sitting there parallel. It's not quite true. Okay?
There's parallel again.
Yeah, there's parallel again. The fact is that Jesus sat down on the throne with His Father, it says. Meaning what? He sat in His daddy's lap. That's what that means, if you want to picture it that way. And He says, and guess what? And you shall sit down with Me on My throne. Amen. Which means what? Dad's got a big lap, okay? Because Jesus is sitting there, and we're sitting in Jesus' lap, okay? So the three have become what? One. There's only one man. There's only one son. There's only one in the whole world, and that's everything that He's bringing into Himself, okay? So the king gave a great banquet. Here we go again. He gives another banquet. Esther's banquet. For all His princes and His servants, He made a holiday, or a holy day. For the prophets, and He gave gifts according to the king's bounty. He gave it to everybody. He called a banquet and He gave it to everybody in all the province. He gave everybody a gift. What gift did He give them? Esther. He gave them Esther. Oh, I know He gave everybody a little gift, but understand what it's saying here. He gave them Esther. He said, this is the perfect soul. This is the one that you can have as a queen. This is the one that can rule and reign within you. It is the mind of Christ that's willing to submit to everything the Spirit has. You too, no matter where you live, no matter what level you're on, way out in the dust, in the big city, wherever God's kingdom is, no matter where you are, you too have that same soul within you, and it can rule. I give you that gift. I give you Christ.